This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
A big aloha to our Hawaiian listeners and welcome to everyone joining us for Neat and Footy, the place where our Pacifica stars in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds take centre stage. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my left-hand man, Tinirau Arona T.
Kia ora, Sammy.
How are you, brother? How's the body? 80 minutes on the weekend.
All good, brother. Back rower, 500 metres, 50 carries.
Sign him up, surely.
We were on.
All the injuries in the NRL, can you get a call up?
Absolutely not. But kia ora to you listening to Neat Footy. A huge week of rugby league. We have the Magic Round coming this weekend. And our girl Sala Tongatuki playing in the State of Origin in the first game this Thursday night. So looking forward to watching some good footy this coming week. And in rugby union, the Drua losing. Damn.
Yeah, big loss for the Drua this week. Big loss.
Tip that last one, week, and sorry. Big Kiss got me a beauty. Where
oh, yeah, that's right. I got up.
Yeah, you got up.
I'm on a roll.
The Smoky, the Western Force.
Yep.
And, yeah, we'll be catching up with Shelley as well during the show and catching up with all the women's footy around the rugby league world.
And we'll also be chatting with Vani Are. She is the vice captain for the Fiji Drua women's team. She's played in the last three Super W Grand Finals, represented Fiji national team, and they have their Oceania Rugby Champs coming up where Fiji, Samoa, Tonga and PG will be playing in. So we'll be chatting to her later in the show.
Vani. I was just going to say, Vani's won two rings.
Three
grand finals, two rings for the
Drua. Two rings. Couldn't get the three-peat. They lost to the Tars, but yeah, we'll get a bit of an inside word from her.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, I believe you have our moment of the week this week.
Yes, I do have. Thanks, T, for throwing to me. Moment of the week. I'm going to go back to last week's interview with Mona Lisa Soliola. What an amazing chat. What a funny chat that we had with her. And you can listen back to it wherever you get your podcasts.
19 years old.
19 years of age. Oh, she was so funny without her even knowing that she's funny.
The oldest of 10 or soon to be 11.
That's right. 100 kids in there. Siblings, or 10. Yes. But I want to go back to a moment that she spoke about with her dad and just her dad's reactions.
Her father, Bill, eh?
So at athletics carnivals, they'll call your event three times. I'm putting my shoes on. I'm putting on like whatever I've got to put on. And then I'm about to go and he stops me and he just goes, no matter what, all I need you to know is if you don't come back with the gold medal, that's it. And then we start laughing. But like, I'm like laughing, like nervous laughing, because I'm like, I don't know if he's being serious or not. So then I start nervous laughing and then he goes, no, I'm just joking. Just no matter what, I'm proud of you.
Yes, that was Mona Lisa just sharing a nice little story of what it was like, just that little fatherly advice that a lot of our Pacifica children face at some point in their time. But how cool was it? You know, he in the moment is actually her dad sharing a post on his Instagram page and sharing the fact that I'll read out his comment. He goes, a couple of embarrassing stories, but hey, the struggle is real. Won't change a thing. Probably the proudest I've been in an interview. So he actually listened to the interview and even said, skip the 30 minutes of where we're going back and forth, carrying on.
just get straight to
his daughter on that. But look, that, I think everything that we do, T, and the platform that we have is all around family and faith and just sharing stories. But when you get moments
reactions like that
from the people that matter the most, you know, her father,
yep,
like that's what it's about. So I thought it was worthy of a moment of the week this week.
Hey guys, it's Xavier Coates here, and you guys are listening to Neat and Footy.
Yes, so I'll cover some rugby league news, but I want to start with a special moment where we had the eighth immortal. Who's the eighth immortal, Sammy, in rugby league?
Initials SW?
SW?
Yeah.
You're talking about Sonny?
Sammy White?
Oh, I thought you meant Sonny Bill Williams.
No, please, mate. There's only one true SW here, mate.
No, we are talking about the great Andrew Johns.
Joey Johns.
Caught on the island of Rarotonga, and he was at the grand final, so the local tournament grand final. They interviewed him, and he was saying how good it is to see rugby league on the island, and he mentioned the trial that they had in Fiji, the NRL NRL trial they had in Fiji, and he would love to see a trial played in Rarotonga.
And the Cook Islands are getting some love from rugby league. Joseph Manu and
on the back of the Joseph back of Manu that. And the Roosters.
Now the Eighth Immortals over there.
Just in that grand final that he was present at. The other two Eels, they beat the Tupapa Panthers, Sammy. Come on, brother.
That was genuine too. I've got it wrong that many times. It's ingrained in my head. Anyway.
So congratulations Panthers. To the other two Eels. And their head coach was Clive Nicholas, who have had on our show covering Culture Shock, the tattoo artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got you. Yeah, nice.
So he was he's the head coach of other two Eels, and they are the crown champions. Now off to the NRL. Wow, some great, great, great results. I will start with last night's game where the Gold Coast Titans get their second win this year against the North Queensland Cowboys.
What's happening to the Cowboys? Wheels are falling off.
Struggling, but it's good to see the Titans. The Titans getting out to a comfortable lead at halftime, scoring 3 tries and a penalty goal leading 20-0 to the Titans at halftime. A strong first half to Tongan David Fifita. He scored a try, barging over from dummy half, and set up his second cousin on the left wing for the Titans, Jojo Fifita.
Pass back to centre field at the end of the set for a 4 and bomb. Coming across, Townsend's going to have to catch it. He couldn't. It's bounced. Play on. Batted towards Fifita. Fifita. David to Fifita. Jojo. And Jojo goes in. Jojo Fifita has scored after the Cowboys couldn't defuse the 4 and bomb. David F to Jojo F. And Jojo Zep and Jojo Step got him into the in-goal area.
How good's our commentary? But the Fifita last name, man, that's a talented family across both codes.
Yeah, you got Andrew and David, the twin brothers, Cronulla Shark representatives. But David Fifita also led the tackle breaks in this game with 11 in total. And that's coming off the back of a busy week for himself, coming down to Sydney, looking at different clubs. So good to see that he's really turned up for the Titans this weekend. I thought the Cowboys fought hard in the second half and began a comeback with 2 tries from Samoan Jeremiah Nanai. With 1 minute left, though, on the clock, down 18-20, the Cowboys throw one last ball to the wing and hope to score, but the Titans players get around that winger, take him out, and game over. 20-18, Titans. But I thought it was a solid game from Kalees Haas, who played at lock. Kalees Haas, you know who Kalees Haas is?
It's Payne Haas's younger brother?
Correct.
There you go.
He made 42 tackles and missed none, and also had 3 offloads. So great work from the brother of Payne Haas, Kalees Haas. But I thought the match of the round was the top-of-the-table clash. We've seen first place Cronulla Sharks play second place Melbourne Storm in Melbourne. And both teams before this game were 7 wins from 8. No Nico Hines for the Sharks and no Jerome Hughes for the Storm. This game was an absolute cracker. Storm scoring their first try, similar to David Fifita's one, where Tongan back rower Eli Katoa scoots out, dives over the line. Only a few minutes later, Sharks respond from a strong carry from Tongan Māori Tuku Hau Tapuha. That's that tall
he's the one that replied. He's the 2 meter tall one, the tallest man in rugby league history.
No, that's the one at Broncos.
Oh, man, there's so many tall guys running around.
But only a few minutes before halftime, Storm hooker gets sent off Harry Grant for a kick pressure and then contact on the legs.
Just on that, contact on the legs. I feel like the contact on the legs in rugby league is like rugby union's head-eye tackle, like the way it gets refereed. Can you put some context behind and some clarity behind what is the ruling? Because it looked like he was a beast thing.
Yeah, they've come down hard on protecting the kickers. So if you see, you know, when the kickers, as they kick, they're in midair, legs are up, so it's a very vulnerable position. Now, any contact around the legs, they're pinning it. But I'd like to see them just be consistent with it. Any contact at the legs, penalise. If it's 10 minutes for Harry Grant for that one, yeah, we'll make it consistent across the board.
If there's a worse one than that, do they just get sent off? Is that what will probably happen?
Who knows? We'll soon see. You want me to call the refs?
Graham Annesley, please get on the phone again.
But during that 10 minutes, Samoan Tongan, Oregon Kafusi, he scores under the post. Now, the finish to this game, it was 18-all with 7 minutes to go. Sharks kick a field goal. They go ahead by one. Now Storm go for a short kickoff, and here's what happened next.
Short restart from Munster. It's caught by Mulitalo of the Sharks, 15 metres from halfway, and he kicked return. Oh, he gets to the last line and gives a pass. Here goes Talakai. He's going to score off the restart for the Sharks, and that might be it. That might be a hoodoo-breaking try for Cronulla Sutherland. It's CSC for Talakai. He said, see you all right. And he runs 40 metres to score.
He says, see ya, all right. The Sharkies winning 25-18. They remain at the top of the ladder. Melbourne Storm drop down to third, and the Panthers jump up to second place. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. Kaviti Silktails in the New South Wales jersey flag. They lost to the Raiders. They scored 8 points, and the Raiders scored 56 at Prince Charles Park in Nandi.
Wow,
still struggling the Silktails. Anyway, it's the Queensland Cup. PNG Hunters made it 2 wins in a row with a 30-12 victory over Northern Pride in Port Moresby. They're back into the top eight. They host Ipswich Jets at home this weekend. And that is it for Rugby League, and we'll cover a fair bit more next week after Magic Round, New South Wales Origin, and we'll speak to Shelley shortly.
Yeah, Shelley will cover a lot of the Origin news, which we can't wait to hear about. Over to Rugby Union T. Fair bit happening, not too long to go before semi-final or quarter-final footies and final footy hits. And we'll start off with Moana Pacifica. They played against the Chiefs, and yeah, it wasn't the best game on their behalf. They went down 43-7, but the first 20 minutes for Moana Pacifica, they actually put some nice phases together, some strong ball carries. Miracle Failangi, Samoan back rower, and Tongan number 8, Lotu Anisi, they had some great involvements, but they received 2 yellow cards in the first half, and to be honest, they were very lucky to only be down 12-0 at halftime. But the Chiefs, like we spoke about with rugby league last week, just around that, you know, that 50-minute mark, T, where you go, the good teams know how to finish strong. Like, you can compete for 50 or 60, but can you go toe-to-toe with them? And they couldn't hold on. The Chiefs, they score the most tries from first phase attack, and they score the most trades within the most tries within the first four phases. So off scrum, off lineouts, when they launch, when they get into the 22, they score a lot, and that's exactly what happened. They turn the screws up, and they won 43-7. So they are building nicely for the back end of this season. I think it's going to be a tight finish for that top four, and where they finish in that, if we
top four get the home semi.
Top four get the home semi, so that's what they'll be looking for on that. And I'd hate to come up against them. I think they're going to peak at the right time, and if a team's going to challenge the Hurricanes and the Blues, who are now 1-2, it's probably going to be the Chiefs, and most likely the Brumbies as well. If we look at the two informed teams, the top of the table clash between the Blues and the Hurricanes. I think, no matter what code or what sport you're watching, I think when the two informed teams, you know, go against each other, you just get excited for what's about to unfold, and you appreciate the players who stand up and lead and who can change the game.
It's like you just talking about the Storm Sharks game then.
Yeah, exactly. Like the two, and it comes down to those small moments. It comes down to the players, the leaders who make those big plays and just shift that momentum.
Yeah.
And that's what this game had. It was a tight affair from start to finish. You know, the opening whistle, both teams, desperate defense, try-saving tackles. And throughout, as I said, throughout the game, the scoreline just ticked over but stayed very tight. But that old saying, defense wins games.
Championships.
And championships, you're right. What was the stat for the Roosters one? What was that one again?
Oh, going way back, it was...
the grand
top,
final
the
winner?
Top defensive teams are in the grand final.
Always in the grand final. And these two teams displayed that with the Blues defending their line in the 79th minute. They were up 31-27. Hurricanes just banging away at the trial line, phase after phase. The Blues give away a penalty. They do a quick tap. They play again, goes into the 81st minute. And the Blues just held off, and then they finally got in there, made the tackle, ripped the ball out, kicked it out. Game over.
I've seen that highlight.
So, like, to me, like, that just showed, like, two heavyweights just going at each other, and I think that's going to be the preview.
Of the GF?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I've been wrong plenty of times this year, though, T, before, so don't take my word for it, but I think...
Yeah, you've just jinxed them both.
Well, my Smokies, the Force, definitely won't be in there, I can tell you right now. But the and speaking of the Western Force, the Fijian Drua played against the Force over in Perth. Look, the last time these two teams played was back in round six. Severe wet weather conditions in Fiji. Frogs jumping around on the field, getting stomped on by some of the players. They needed a snorkel out there, but different this time around in Perth, perfect conditions.
That felt like only a couple of weeks ago, that game.
Yeah, it wasn't that long, maybe four weeks ago now. So, but it was a different affair this time around. Obviously, the Force responded well and they did their homework. And they recorded their second biggest win in history. 2009 against the Lions was their biggest one. And yes, I was playing in that one. Just set up a try, a little
second
cheeky one.
Second
biggest win in history,
48-10.
Obviously not really known for scoring points, the Force, like the other big results. But it was good for them. And then we saw Samoa winger Chase Tiatia for the Western Force on the wing, scoring the corner to open the game in the first 2 minutes. Did a nice little post-try celebration because it was culture round with a carver cup, pretending to drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Sat down nicely too, good posture, crossed legs, three claps. Down the hatch it went. So he kicked it off. We also saw Celestino Ravutamanda for the Fijian Drua score in the try. A little bit like Xavier Coates.
Oh, the big dive.
Yeah, big dive. I've seen that one big as well. Big dive. I feel like rugby union can actually learn a bit more from league.
But he ran. He had to run to the corner while all the
chasing him. So it's a bit more front on that one. But he got some air and scored in the corner. And to be honest, that was the only real shot fired from the Fijian Drua. The Force, they kicked smart, especially like midway through the second half. They kicked on the front foot, even with momentum, just kept turning the Drua around because the Drua, they're a run-first mentality team. And all you have to do, present a line, make your tackles.
Play down the other end.
Play down the other end. And that's exactly what the Western Force did and then were able to pretty much put the Drua away and come up with a massive scoreline for them. It was 48-10, which still keeps their finals hopes alive. I told you they were a smoky.
Through the Force.
Yeah, I told you they were a smoky. And that's the definition of a smoky, that it's going to surprise everyone.
You know what's funny is that you can win a few games and still make the finals. That's the smoky right there.
No comment. Look, the format is going to change again for the 100th time in union at some point to bring the fans back. It's going to happen. But if we look at the results in the ladder, six of the bottom seven teams lost, so the fight for the last couple of spots remain alive. Highlanders are the big winners of the week. The Fijian Drua still stay in the top eight. They are back home this week in Suva, and they've got two home games, so they can stay in there and cement their quarterfinal spot
Big, see? Big Kefs, if you are listening, I will not be taking your tips anymore.
I'm on a roll. That's two in a row.
Two in a row.
So I'm chasing it down, T. So,
what do you reckon? Is that it for Union?
That is it for Rugby Union.
Too easy. Let's head over to Shelley and catch up with all the women's footy.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchid star and North Queensland Cowboy NRLW utility player Shelley Long is here with us today. I'm saying utility player because this week you're a back, last week you were a forward, and the week before you were a back. What's going on?
Oh, I think they just wanted to test my versatility, you know. It's always good when you can play multiple positions, they say. So hopefully that helps me out in my contracts going forward.
Has that come from the top? Is it like communication with the Cowboys wanting to see a little bit more of you in a different position?
Oh, I think just with injuries and having to rest players, and we've got quite a few girls in the Cutters that are Cowboys players, and our preseason's about to begin. They just needed me to take a few games at different positions to help carry the load.
Is there any position that you preferred?
I love the centres. I feel like, you know, you move in a little bit more to the middle and you got to do a lot more defence. I can tell you that now. And I know that when I get moved in the middle, the first thing I do is if a back makes an error, I'm looking at them. But, you know, as a back, if I make an error, I'm like, oh, that's okay. We've got this. We're right to defend.
Any feedback from the coach on how you went?
Oh, he's been liking me, actually. He said he said he thinks I'm a back rower, but I said to him, I'd like to stay in the centres if I can, but you know, you've got to do what the coach asks of you.
That's the one. Number one rule I learned at a very early age was keep the coach happy.
Exactly. And the old saying, what they would always do too, go, okay, so if you didn't want to play back row, for instance, and then they go, well, if Queensland Origin asks you to play back row, you're going to play back row? And the answer is always, oh, of course. We go, there you go. If you just change, it needs to happen, you just go with it. You'll be right, Shelley. It could be the one that keeps you going for a lot longer.
That's it. Well, in rugby league terms, you always move in eventually anyways. That's the joke around here. You start as fullback and you end up as a front rower.
Love it.
Well, touching on your game on the weekend, you won 26-22 in the final round, and I've just noticed you're yet to score a try.
Am I?
Have you scored? Season? You tell us. Have you scored
a try this season yet?
I don't think so. That's a good point.
Yeah, you better get on the try board. Why? You better get on that sheet of paper.
I'm team first. I'll run those lines and let everyone else score those tries. Oh,
that's what I used to say, just because I knew I'd never scored a try.
I can't believe you didn't know that you scored. Man, I know to a T how many tries I've scored, the minute, the game, because it came, as you said, didn't really come.
You can count them on your hand.
Is that one hand? One hand? You can count them?
Holy, speaking of hands, what happened to that finger?
Oh, wow.
What's going on there?
I don't actually know. It's, someone called it an avatar finger that last night because it was so bruised and swollen.
Wow.
But I actually don't know what had happened. It happened in the game, just kept playing. That's rugby league.
Yeah.
That's what rugby in general, you know. Get an injury, you're right.
Please. Or is it broken? Is it just swollen? Are you going to get a scan?
I went for a scan this morning, so just waiting to see. But Doc was just like, it's all right. No matter what it is, you just strap it and you'll be right. It's your pinky finger. Don't really need that.
Spoken like a true rugby league player. No excuses. We go again.
Hurry up then, you leagues.
Yeah, back to your game.
Semi-finals do kick off this weekend. And after a couple of performances, South and Clydesdale's drawing, it allowed Burleigh Bears to actually jump up into third place. So originally, if Burleigh had have won and South had have won, then Burleigh would have placed fourth, which we would have faced off Burleigh. But now they've placed third, so we will now face Clydesdales in a semi-final. And North Devils, who play second, will play Burleigh in the semi-final.
And then just winners go direct to the grand final?
Winners straight to the grand final.
And who does your partner play for again?
She plays for Burley. So thankfully I'm not versing her this coming weekend, but hopefully
I'll be in the grand final.
Potentially in the grand final, and you're yet to beat her. Interesting.
Will she be ready for that game?
Yeah, so she's played the last two games. She's just been managing her knee, but now she's back in and she's been playing amazing. But I have to keep watching my own games away from her because she's picking up on what we're doing. And even like today, she was like, "Oh, just come in this afternoon with you guys and watch your review."
I just start planting the seed now to her. Oh, you're limping with that knee. Your knee looks a bit. Are you sure you're not sore? Plant the seed right now. Get into her head that her knee is no good. All right.
Oh, I can't be mean, Sam.
Do you want to win or do you want to go winless against your partner? You've got to do what it takes.
Any other rugby league news? I know we've got the Origin first game of the women's Origin game this Thursday evening.
Yes. So with the Women's State of Origin kicking off Thursday night in Brisbane, Queensland have played it safe by naming pretty much an identical team to last year. So last year as their game two squad. However, New South Wales have made several changes to their side. Sarah Togatuki, as well as known as Sala, has made her return. So she has been recovering from a syndesmosis injury, but she's looking ready to go. She's been posting a bunch of workout videos lately. She's looking fit and strong. And I actually think that she's someone I would be watching in that game. Like, I think she's ready to make her comeback after an injury.
She is raring to go.
What are your thoughts on this game?
I think it will be a really good first game. I think that New South Wales has a very strong forward pack. With the colder weather, when you have really dominant and strong running forwards, I feel like the cold almost gives you a couple of extra minutes as well in your tank. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I love a cold game. I feel like I find 10 more minutes in my tank than I would on a sunny day.
You're not wrong. I'm with you on that.
Just
one.
Just give us your quick score prediction.
Score prediction, I'm going to go 22-18.
To
the Blues.
Oh, that is huge. Breaking news.
Shelley's a turncoat. She has abandoned her fellow Queenslanders.
All right, guys. You can't just ask me, what are your guys' scores as well?
Oh, Blues by 50.
Easy.
Tiana Penetani, 10 tries into NRLW. New signings?
Yes. So at last, we finally have an NRLW signing. We haven't had any lately, but Kere Matua, Proud Cook Island woman and Māori woman, has re-signed with the Canberra Raiders for the 2024 season. She is a powerhouse forward who has also been playing as a utility across multiple games. Previously, when I versed her, she went from back row into the centres, and then I've also played her when she's been playing a proppy. So she is just someone who, once she's got the ball, it's hard to stop her.
Let's go to Wallaroos.
Australian Wallaroos played their first game of the Pacific Four Series against a strong and solid Canada team who currently rank fourth in the world. Within 10 minutes of the game, Canada came out ready to rumble, scoring two tries, unfortunately. But it was Proud Samoan and Tongan Wallaroos flanker Siokapesi Palu who put her hand up and hit back with her barging carry through two defenders to score in the corner. But unfortunately, they did call it a knock-on. However, the momentum had finally swung the Wallaroos' way. Eva Kapani and Atesi Lefai were incredible off the bench. Their energy and impact also brought the Wallaroos back into the game. Batala Maleka had an incredible try-saving moment there. Kenda were looking to really barge over the line, and she's just come flying out of nowhere to save it. I think as a young player in that Wallaroos squad, she has definitely done really well, and I'm really keen to see her move on into the USA game. This Friday afternoon in Melbourne, USA just came off a big loss against New Zealand, so hopefully they're a little bit battered up and the Wallaroos can really build on what they've done against Canada and take that into that game.
Yeah, you're not wrong. We'll look forward to reviewing that next week. But Shelley, like always, thank you so much. Look after that finger. Make sure you get the ice on it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next Monday.
Cheers. Shelley. Up the Blues.
It's Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Culture Shock.
Yes, it's Culture Shock. Last week I took you to Palau. We talked about the delicious bat soup, not once, but twice that week. Gave you the nice little recipe and can't wait to try it. Is that right, T? Can't
Absolutely wait. Not.
Here we go. But this week we are off to Bougainville, a place both of us know nothing. I thought it was in Australia, to be honest, but T, shock me.
Bougainville is an autonomous region of Papua New Guinea. So,
what's autonomous mean?
Well, I did look up the meaning, and it was, it means Bougainville has the authority to govern and administer the interest of the local people according to its own initiatives. So,
as in laws, they can come up with their own laws. They have the autonomy to create their own laws.
Tasmania, part of Australia, now Tasmania have their own laws. That's what Bougainville is to PNG.
Okay. Do you have any of those laws?
No, I don't.
Oh.
But
boring.
What I did, you'll like this one. Now, you mentioned bat soup. So the island is home to a range of unique plant and animal species, including the rare, very, very rare, Bougainville monkey-faced flying fox, a.k.a. bat. Monkey-faced bats.
Hang on, well, a monkey-faced...
Let me give you a description.
Bat. Yes. Flying fox.
So it's got short ears, it's got black fur on their heads and back, and their chests have white or yellow patches.
Can you eat them?
Probably. But oh, they're actually... In a that's soup? Why they're, they're actually endangered now.
Oh, it's because we ate...
Because the people are hunting them.
Oh.
First collected in 1904. So first collected, discovered... it had not been seen in Bougainville Island since 1968 until they were seen again or sighted again in 2016. And it was last seen on, is it Troisville Island in 2008? So the species is on the IUCN red list as an endangered species.
I have so many questions, but not enough time here. Just on that, just breeding and
so just going off the bat, mate. The bat soup, Bougainville monkey-faced bat.
T, you've shocked me. And actually, before we move on from the bat subject, I told my family members about the bat soup.
Mm.
And then my wife's cousin goes, oh, you know in Tonga they eat bat. I was like, do they? He goes, yeah, they do, except it's just over the barbecue.
That explains a lot.
Anyway, so this... We are absolutely shocked again.
Time to move on from that.
Time to move on. So yeah, we've done. It's run its course. So where are we for next week?
Well, next week. So this week on Wednesday, we are launching ABC Australia or ABC Pacific are launching in Pompeii, the Northern Pacific Micronesian island of Pompeii.
So Pompeii are going to be listening to Nijan Footy.
Correct.
Oh,
coming
can't wait.
Wednesday, so they'll catch the first show, Nijan Footy Fridays.
Oh. Perfect. Well, all right. I will be back with some shocking facts about Pompeii. Shocking, but good facts, I mean. And that's enough of us. Let's go over to Vani Are.
Nijan Footy.
Today on Nijan Footy, we are crossing over to Fiji to chat with Vani Are, the vice captain for the Fijian Draw women's team, who are looking to go for the three-peat, but unfortunately lost to the Waratahs in the final this year. But she's with us right now, Vani Vanakavakalevu, for joining us on Nijan Footy.
Thank you for having me, Nijan Footy. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, the pleasure is all ours. We really appreciate your time. And yeah, look, we will touch on the grand final. Obviously, it wasn't the result you girls were looking for, but can you talk us through how's everyone feeling after the grand final?
Yeah, I think everyone was feeling down after the grand final. But, you know, credits to the Tars. I think they wanted it more than us. And they've been working hard from their preseason. And besides, other than that, like us, we've just had our 6 weeks training. But that doesn't change a thing. Credits to the Waratahs for winning that game. They wanted more than us.
Yeah, I still think it was a huge achievement making the grand final. When you look at the season, what are some of the positives that you'll take out of this season?
I think it was the bond that the team had for such a short period of time. And also the combination, the new combinations in the team coming in. As you said, there was, I think, six of us from the previous years that's still in the squad. So there was like a lot of new players coming in. But yet we still blended well with them. And then that's how we managed to reach the final.
Well, you're one of those six and you've won two grand finals and... You know, unfortunately, yeah, as we mentioned, you lost this one. But is that one of the biggest challenges the Drua has to overcome? Is the fact that it's just always a change of personnel each year?
Yeah, I think, yes, that's the thing. Because, you know, we can't control what players choose. You know, players choose to go overseas for greener pastures, which is good for them, though. And, you know... we can't control that, and we just have to work in our own means and get players from overseas and also local players here to form the Fijiana Drua squad in 2024.
Being a team from Fiji, what are some of the other challenges that you face in the Super W competition?
I think culture-wise, men are still prioritized more than women's, and I think also... you know, constantly changing the management. You know, there's always new management every year, which we have to adapt to. Yeah, and also new players coming in, which we have to know, like, for such a short period of time, for such a big season.
Do you see, like, you've been there for a few years now. Have you seen some improvements in them areas from when you first started?
I think, yes, there's been some improvements in the women's rugby space compared to the last 2 years. We've been treated better this year. We've had a lot of opportunities coming in, and there has been, you know, a lot of opportunities, as I said, opportunities like test matches and stuff we've been getting. And I think that's it. And also there's a lot of interest of women, like players, like wanting to be in the Fijiana Drua squad.
Now let's take you back to home when you do play at home. Tell us what it's like playing in front of your home field, like your home crowd.
It's a different feeling playing in front of the home crowd. You know, that feeling when you're at home, you know, yeah, it's just like it gives us a different feeling. Like, it's just different, like playing here and playing in overseas. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk about one of those home games, that semi-final. That was electric. Like, seeing the crowd in Suva, and by halftime, it was a full house.
Yeah.
I was there calling that game with Clarkie and just watching Atalete Puna score that last try, watching everyone get on their feet. Can you describe to us what that feeling was like to see that sea of blue in Suva Stadium?
Yeah, it was just mind-blowing. We didn't expect that home crowd to come out in numbers to support us in the second half. So, you know, that feeling of fighting till the end to make our families and our fans proud, like, it was just a different thing. Like, we felt proud and also humbled at the same time.
Sammy comes back home after every weekend that the Drua play, and he explains and paints the pictures of that home crowd, and it looks like the energy is really buzzing. We also keep a close eye on your season and also the Super Rugby. And one thing that stood out for us was the team's discipline, you know, with all a few yellow cards. And do you think that that's hurt the team, and does that frustrate you as a player?
Yes, as a player, it's the biggest downfall for us. Like, it's like letting your teammates down. You know, we have that trust in each other, like, not to let your teammate fall. But, yeah, that part, like, that will come. But, you know, us Fijians, when we get our emotions, you know, win. So discipline is our weakness. As a Fijians, I can say.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It definitely halted some of your momentum in some of the games, because you're always playing with pretty much 13 or 14 players, which would be tough. But I mentioned previously that you're going to be moving into the Drua HQ There's going to be minimum wage and standards for the Drua players. Can you tell us, like, I guess, how excited you are as a player and amongst the team that it's going to be more professional for the pathway for girls footy in Fiji?
Yes, I think yes. Moving in here, it was a blessing. You know, there's a new pathway for us, you know, to train in a better facility and also to be treated better compared to the last 2 years. I think just training here, I think it'll improve our performances on the coming years.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the future of the Drua and, you know, coming off the back of three grand finals, winning two out of them three. I'm sure the future is very bright. But I want to dive a little bit into your journey, Vani, and ask a little bit about your upbringing. So we'll start with, you know, what village are you from and what was your upbringing like?
So I'm originally from Tobu Totoya in Lau, and also my mom's from Nukumbalavu village in Savu Savu. I was brought up in my mom's village. I grew up there. I went to school in Savu Savu as well, in primary school in Savarekareka and secondary in St. Bede's College. So I started playing rugby when I was, I think it was when I was 16 years of age, represented my school, and then I got picked for the Vanua Cup. Also, I got picked for the under 18 to represent Fiji for the Numia 7.
Yeah,
we won that comp. I came back, moved over to Samoa in 2018, and then moved over to Australia in 2019. Stayed in Melbourne, played my first club level in Box Hill Rugby Club. Then I got picked for the Melbourne Rebels in 2020. That was under Alana Thomas. She was my first coach. Played my first Super W in 2020. And then I moved over to Queensland. I played for Sunnybank Rugby Club. I got drafted into the Queensland squad in 2022. But then I got offered the Drua contract. So I chose to come over to play for Fiji.
When you first left Fiji to Samoa and then to Australia, did you ever see yourself coming back to Fiji to represent them in the to play rugby union?
No, that wasn't the... No, I didn't see myself coming back here. But it was my dream to play for Fiji. But then when I got a chance to choose, I chose to come back.
Oh, man, that's cool. Like, what actually inspired you to play rugby in the first place?
So none of my families play rugby. So I wanted to be the first one to create my own legacy. Like, I wanted to be the first one in my family to play rugby so that I can pass on to my next generation. So my next generation can play rugby.
And have you inspired any of your younger family members to take up rugby now?
Yes, definitely. All of my cousins now have been messaging me and asking for boots and kids like that.
Of course they are.
Yeah. They've been saying, Auntie, we want to be like you. We want to play like you. Can you sponsor me this? Can you sponsor us? Like, just wait. Yeah, it's exciting.
When you get those text messages from your family members and even just other young Fijian girls, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel like happy, you know, like I know that I've been inspiring them to, you know, to become a rugby player one day.
What about when you walk through the street of Fiji? Do any young girls come up to you and ask for photos or signatures?
Yes, some, but you know, I'm a shy person, like, so just lay back, stay back, and you know, chill. I'm shy, I can't take pictures in front of.
It's funny you said you're shy to take pictures, but you're definitely not shy on the field.
Kill
it on there, like a lot of Fijians. It's so common. But, you know, just in terms of inspiring the next generation, when I was over there, someone told me that previously, before the Drua came into the competition, there was only about 11 clubs that played, that had a female team. Now they're saying there's 126 teams across Fiji. When you hear numbers like that, the growth, How does it, again, make you and your team feel that you're inspiring a whole bunch of Fijian women?
Like, it's just a different feeling. You know, that feeling that you're seeing that women's rugby is growing in Fiji, you know, it makes us happy. Like, we know that, you know, people are interested to come in and, you know, share their talent, to showcase their talent and what they're blessed with. So it makes us feel happy to see that this has been growing, because it's different for the past years. Like, we've always been looked down upon. Things has changed now. There's still some men out there, you know, that's still against women playing rugby. But yeah, but I think a lot of them now are supporting the women's rugby.
Well, I think, again, one of the other girls, or probably two that really stand out to me, that's had an impact, especially, is probably Merawai Dhumu and Atalete Puna. Mm-hmm. You would have played alongside Merawai for a long time. Yeah. Obviously disappointed not to partner with her in the grand final due to a concussion. Yeah. But what's it like playing alongside her and going off the back of her momentum when she's taking those tough carries and those tough lines?
She's like one of my idol, Merawai Dhumu. Even though we're in the same team, but she's my idol. Like, I like her carries. She's like really, really strong. And, you know, like, she's been, you know, the best partner from last year going on to this year. Seeing her being carried out at the Rebels game, it's just disheartening, like, for me to look at it and seeing that, knowing that she'll be out. But yeah, Merawai Dhumu is just fantastic. She's just built different. Like, she's like my Tisova.
Yes, she plays exactly like him too.
Yeah.
She plays exactly like him. And is, you know, obviously faith is a big part of a lot of the Pacifica countries. How is it used within the Druid team as a tool to help your team prepare on and off the field?
Yeah, as Fijian, we are into, you know, faith and family. I think faith has driven us, like, a lot. Like, whenever we're down, whenever we're feeling some kind of way, like, we just tend to go to God to help us through.
One thing that is part of your preparation is what you put in your game day bag. We were on Instagram watching your footage of what you have in there. You're very honest as well with what you had in there. You had spare socks just in case your feet smell.
Yeah.
They're your words, not mine.
Literally. You know those long rides, we got sweaty feet and they smell. So, yeah, definitely got to change.
The moisturizer in there, because you said, you know, when you went to Canberra, the dry legs, the nasal inhaler. Where's the footy boots and the, you know, all the stuff that you need on field?
Oh, it's in my other bag. It's down at the check-in bags,
Well, usually it's the other way. I don't know about you, T, but I would check. I would always carry my footy boots in my overhead locker because I was too scared that if my bag got lost, I wouldn't have a pair of boots. Were you like that, T? Or did you pack them in the check-in baggage?
It's like if they get lost, you're going to work without your tools. Your boots are your tools.
Yeah, true.
Maybe next time, just say, you know, the moisturizer.
Yes, maybe next time,
Nah, you keep doing what you need to do.
But I packed them on my way back. I packed them in my backpack.
All you need to say to Sammy is, I've played 3 grand finals, 1, 2, how many have you won?
All I'll say is, you win on that. But on that note, I just want to thank you so much for your time, what you're doing in the, you know, in Fiji, in the country, for the women's game. It's unbelievable to witness it firsthand, seeing all the young Druid girls and boys supporting the Fijian Druid team out on the field for, especially that semi-final. It was amazing. I wish you nothing but the best moving forward, and hopefully there's going to be more opportunities for the girls moving forward, and we get to see more of you play. So, vinaka vakalevu.
Vinaka vakalevu, Nishan Puri, for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Nishan Knowledge.
Yeah, so each week we like to end the show with a bit of fun, a bit of humour, a bit of knowledge, Nishan Knowledge, and it is my turn this week. And what's the score up there, T?
You're on 7. I'm coming in closer. 5.5.
Okay, 5.5.
And the loser at the end of the season has to get a Nishan Footy tattoo on their bum.
On the mooly. Okay, here we go. Let's just rip into it. The man, Dotai Kefu.
Yes, Big Kefs.
His middle name is Siausi.
Siausi.
What does Siausi translate to in English? Is it A, John? Is it B, Charlie? Or is it C, George?
I think John is Sione.
Yep. John so is Sione.
A, not A. Now you got Chelsea, Charlie. And what was the other one?
George.
Chelsea, George. We're going with B, Charlie.
Yeah, you should have stuck with C, George. Chelsea is George.
What?
B is Salisi.
Or wow. Siale
for Charles. There you go. I knew that one would throw you off. That's why I gave you the options.
No, A, B, good. Or C. I'll take that loss.
Take that one? Yeah.
Damn, Chelsea.
I like when you're humble in defeat, gracious in defeat, rather than carrying on like all the other times.
I like when you put the trick answer in there.
Okay, next question. In rugby union at scrum time, okay, the referee, he calls crouch, bind. What comes after bind? Crouch, bind.
See, it's changed, eh?
It has changed.
I want to say engage, but I feel like that's the old one.
Oh, that's good from you. That's good from you. It's definitely not engaged. It used to be the old one. Crouch.
Really? So bind. It's definitely not engaged.
It's definitely not engaged.
Oh, no. I was just going to say it.
No, I'll let you have that one because it's actually.
So it's not. It was crouch, hold, engage.
No, it used to be crouch, touch, pause, engage. So it was long. So they shortened it up.
Okay. So now it's.
Crouch, bind.
It would be an in or connect.
Oh, crouch, bind, connect. Does that sound right?
Crouch, bind, and in.
And in. crouch, bind, and in. No, it's definitely not
crouch,
and in.
Crouch, bind, connect.
No. Crouch, bind, set. Crouch, bind, set.
Set. So set means go in.
Go in.
See, this is why union is not doing well. Doesn't make sense. Crouch, bind, set. Where's the engagement in set?
Nah, because you know why? The engage, it was too long, the syllable. So when they used to throw people in, people would go early. So they would go engage, so people would launch in on the N and then go early. So that's why they changed it to a short syllable, to set.
Well, they could have said in.
No, it doesn't work.
Because that's what it means, go in.
Anyway, this is the last question. You're on fire, T. None
awful,
from two.
Mate.
These are great awful questions. Johnson, Ray Lea and Alice Lolahia host which ABC Pacific show?
Oh, wow.
Surely you watch ABC Pacific, T.
Oh, we're going to say
Across the ditch.
No, it's not across the ditch. That's that's a whole different company. Conversations. No, Conversations is one person.
Just going to plug every single show. Sisters, let's talk. In the Folly.
You know what? I'm just going to say Conversations.
It's definitely not Conversations. It's only one person that hosts Conversation, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, it's The Pacific. There it is.
Say the name again.
Johnson Rayella and Alice Lolahia host ABC Pacific show, The Pacific, and
Johnson's
they do a great...
He's Cook Island,
he's
too.
He's Cook Islander.
My bad, brother.
There you go. So you should know this, too. That's why I thought you would have known it, but that's our time up for Nijan Footy today. Remember, you can catch up on our chats with Mona Lisa, Soliola, Sekope Kepu, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'll see you next Monday because I'm going to Magic Weekend.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.